eternal love, death of mercy, O triune holiness, yet one God, whose bosom is full of love for all. As a good father, you scorned no one. O love of God, living fountain, pour yourself out upon us, your unworthy creatures. May our misery not hold back the torrents of your love, for indeed there's no limit to your mercy. Jesus, I have noticed that you seem to be less concerned with me. Word of Jesus. Yes, my child, I'm replacing myself with your spiritual director. He is taking care of you according to my will. Respect his every word as my own. He is the veil behind which I am hiding. Your director and I are one. His words are my words. So you see, Jesus, God is using human beings to serve human. When I make the way of cross, I'm deeply moved at the 12th station. Here I reflect on the omnipotence of God's mercy, which passed through the heart of Jesus. In this open wound of the heart of Jesus, I enclose all poor humans and those individuals whom I love as often as I make the way of the cross. From the fountain of mercy issue the two rays, that is, the blood and the water. With the immensity of their grace, they flood the whole world. When one is ill and weak, one must constantly make effort to measure up to what others are doing as a matter of course. But even those matter of course things cannot always be managed. Nevertheless, thank you, Jesus, for everything, because it is not the greatness of the works, but the greatness of the effort that will be rewarded. What is done out of love is not small. O my Jesus, for your eyes see everything. I do not know why I feel so terribly unwell in this morning. In the morning, I have no muster all my strength and get out of bed, sometimes even to the point of heroism. The thought of Holy Communion gives me back a little more strength. And so the day starts with a struggle and ends with a struggle. When I go to take my rest, I feel like a soldier returning from the battlefield. So tired. You alone, my Lord and Master, know what this day has contained. So from morning, evening, the whole day, is tiring. Meditation. During meditation, the sister or the kneeler next to mine keeps coughing and clearing her throat. Sometimes without a break. It occurred to me once that I might take another place for the time of the meditation. Because Mass had already been offered. But when I thought that if I did change my place, the sister would notice this and might feel hurt that I had moved away from her. So I decided to continue in prayer in my usual place and to offer this act of patience to God. Toward the end of the meditation, my soul flooded with God's consternation, and this to the limit of what my heart could bear. The Lord gave me to know that if I had moved away from that system, I would have moved away also from those graces that flowed into my soul. Out of love, the reward is different. Jesus came to the main entrance today under the guise of a poor young man. This young man, emaciated, barefoot and bareheaded, and with his clothes in tatters, was frozen when the day was cold and rainy. He asked for something hot to eat, so went to the kitchen, but found nothing there for the poor. But after searching around for some time, I succeeded in finding some soup, which I reheated, into which I crumbled some bread, and I gave it to the poor young man, who ate it. As I was taking the bowl from him, he gave me to know that he was the Lord of heaven and earth. When I saw him as he was, he vanished from my sight. When I went back and reflected on what had happened at the gate, I heard these words in my soul: "My daughter, the blessings of the poor who bless me as they leave this gate have reached my ears, and your compassion within the bounds of obedience has pleased me. And this is why I came down from my throne to taste the fruits of your mercy. Oh my Jesus, now everything is clear to me, and I understand all that has just happened. I somehow felt and asked myself, what sort of a poor man is this who radiates such modesty? From that moment on, there was stirred up in my heart an even purer love toward the poor and the needy. Oh, how happy I am that my superiors have given me such a task. I understand that mercy is manifold. One can do good always and everywhere and at all times. An ardent love of God sees all around itself constant opportunities to share itself through deed, word, and prayer. Now I understand the words which you spoke to me, O Lord, some time ago. Oh, what great efforts I must make to carry out my duties well when my health is so poor. This will be known to you alone, O Christ. In times of interior desolation, I do not lose my peace, because I know that God never abandons a soul, except perhaps only when the soul itself breaks the bond of love by its unfaithfulness. However, all creatures without exception depend on the Lord and are maintained by His omnipotence. Some are under the rule of love, others under the rule of justice. It depends on us under which rule we want to live, because no one is refused the aid of sufficient grace. I'm not frightened at all by my apparent abandonment. I examine myself more profoundly to discover whether this is due to my fault. If this is not the case, then may the Lord be blessed. October 1st, 1937. Word of Jesus. daughter, I need sacrifice lovingly accomplished because that alone has meaning for me. Enormous indeed are the depths of the world which are due to me. Pure souls can pay them by their sacrifice, exercising mercy in spirit. I understand your words not in the magnitude of the mercy that ought to shine in my soul. Jesus says, I know, my daughter, that you understand it and that you do everything within your power. But write this for the many souls who are often worried because they do not have the material means with which to carry out an act of mercy. Yet spiritual mercy, which requires neither permissions nor storehouses, is much more meritorious and is within the grasp of every soul. It will not obtain my mercy on the day of judgment. Oh, if only souls knew how to gather eternal treasure for themselves, they would not be judged, for they would forestall my judgment with their mercy. October 10th, 1937. Oh my Jesus, in thanksgiving for your many graces, I offer you my body and soul, intellect and will, and all the sentiments of my heart. Through the vows, I've given myself entirely to you. I've done nothing more than I can offer you. Jesus said to me, my daughter, you have not offered me that which is really yours. I probed deeply into myself and found that I love God with all the faculties of my soul and unable to see what it was that I had not yet given to the Lord. I asked, Jesus, tell me what it is, and I will give it to you at once with a generous heart. Jesus said to me with kindness, daughter, give me your misery, because it is your exclusive property. At that moment, a ray of light illumined my soul, and I saw the whole abyss of my misery. In that same moment, I nestled close to the most sacred heart of Jesus with so much trust that even if I had the sins of all the damned weighing on my conscience, I would not have doubted God's mercy. But with a heart crushed to dust, I would have thrown myself into the abyss of your mercy. I believe, O Jesus, that you would not reject me, but would absolve me through the hand of your representative. Offer your misery to the Lord. So we are miserable. You expired, Jesus, but a source of life gushed for souls. An ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, enveloped the whole world and empty yourselves out upon us. Word of Jesus. At 3 o'clock, implore my mercy, especially for the sinners. And if only for a brief moment, immerse yourself in my passion, particularly in my abandonment at the moment of agony. This is the hour of great mercy for the whole world. I will allow you to enter into my mortal sorrow. In this hour, I will refuse nothing to the soul that makes a request of me in virtue of my passion. 3 o'clock. Jesus wrote that. Sometimes we may ask, why 3 o'clock, not 4 o'clock, or 5 o'clock? But 3 o'clock is the time to despite his life. No? Hail, most merciful heart of Jesus, living fountain of all graces, our sole shelter, our only refuge. In you I have the lights of hope. Hail, most compassionate heart of God, unfathomable living font of love, from which gushes life for sinful men, and the spring of all sweetness. Hail, open wound of the most sacred heart, from which the rays of mercy issued forth, and from which it was given us to draw life with the vessel of trust alone. Hail, God's goodness, incomprehensible, therefore to be measured of fatum, full of love and mercy, though always holy, yet like a good mother, ever bent over us. Hail, throne of mercy, Lamb of God, who gave your life in sacrifice for me, before whom my soul humbles itself daily, living in faith profound. This end of book 4. Now go to book 5. The bark of my life sails along amid darkness and shadows of night, and I see no shore. I'm sailing the high seas. The slightest storm would drown me, engulfing my boat in the swirling depths. If you yourself did not watch over me, O God, at each instant and moment of my life, amid the roaring waves, I sail peacefully, trustingly, and gaze like a child into the distant without fear, because you, O Jesus, are my light. Dread and terror is all about me, but within my soul is peace and more profound than the depths of the sea. For he who is with you, O Lord, will not perish. Of this your love assures me, O God. Though a host of dangers surround me, none of them do I fear, for I fix my gaze on the starry sky, and I sail along bravely and merrily, as becomes a pure heart. And if the ship of my life sails so peacefully, this is still true, but one thing above all, you are my helmsman, O God. This I confess with utmost humility. O my God, I love you. Sister Faustina of the Blessed Sacrament, Krakow, October 20th, 1937. I bowed down before you, O bread of angels, with deep faith, hope, and love, and from depths of my soul I worship you, though I am but nothingness. I bow down before you, O hidden God, and love you with all my heart. The veils of mystery hinder me not at all. I love you as do your chosen ones in heaven. I bow down before you, O Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, whom I receive into my heart each morn, you who are my saving head. Krakow, October 20th, 1937. O my God, Let everything that is in me praise you, my Lord and Creator. And with each beat of my heart, I want to praise your unfathomable mercy. I want to tell souls of your goodness and encourage them to trust in your mercy. That is my mission, which you yourself have entrusted to me, O Lord, in this life and in the life to come. So for Sina is with us. He is the General Secretary for Divine Mercy. So today, she's here. Do you believe? She's present. Where Jesus, there's the saints. Our Heavenly Mother also here. We are blessed. It's a mystery. We are back. We are beginning an 8-day retreat today. Jesus, my Master, help me to make these holy retreat exercises with the greatest fervor possible. May your Spirit guide me, O Lord, into the most profound depths of knowledge of yourself and of my own self as well. For I shall love you only as much as I shall come to know you. And I shall despise myself only as much as I shall come to know my misery. I know, Lord, that you will not refuse me your help. I decide to come out of this retreat as a saint, even though human eyes will not notice this, but even those of the superiors. I abandon myself entirely to the action of your grace, that your will be accomplished entirely in me, O Lord. Her desire, coming out of the retreat, is a saint. But unnoticed by anyone, you, me too. Coming out of this chapel, we are saints. Without any changing outwardly, change of heart. First day, Jesus says, my daughter, this retreat will be an uninterrupted contemplation. I will bring you into this retreat as into a spiritual banquet, close to my merciful heart. You will meditate upon all the graces your heart has received, and a deep peace will accompany your soul. I want the eyes of your soul to be always fixed on my holy will. See, it is in this way that you will please me most, the will of God. No sacrifices can be compared to this. When we fulfill the will of God in you, that's a beautiful sacrifice. Although many little things are lower notice, but that's, it's really the hour of love. If it's a will of God, you do it, and this is the grace, that's the light. Through all the exercise, you will remain close to my heart. You shall not undertake any reforms, because I will dispose of your whole life as I see fit. The priest who will preach the retreat will not speak a single word which will trouble you. My Jesus, I've already made 2 meditations and recognize through them that everything you have said is true. I am experiencing a profound peace, and this peace flows from the weakness of my conscience, that to say that I am always doing your will, O Lord. So whenever we do the will of the Father, we are at peace. If we are not at peace, probably something is not according to the will of God, but to your own will. In the meditation of the goal of man, I understood that this truth is deeply rooted in my soul, and that my deeds are therefore the most perfect. I know why I was created. All creatures taken together cannot take the place for me of my Creator. I know that God is my ultimate goal. And so in whatever I undertake, I take God into account. Many times we say, we put God in the first place of our life. But many times we are not. We do not. We take things we like most. Because the will of God sometimes is not easy. Oh, how good it is to spend a retreat close to the most sweetheart of my God. I'm in the wilderness with my beloved. No one interrupts my sweet conversation with him. Jesus, you yourself have designed to lay the foundations of my sanctity, and my cooperation has not amounted to much, so much. Not amounted to much. You have taught me to set up no store on the use and choice of created things, because my heart is on itself so weak. And this is why I've asked you, O my Master, to take no heed of the pain of my heart, but to cut away whatever might hold me back from the path of love. I did not understand you, Lord, in times of sorrow, when you were effecting your work in my soul. But today, I understand you and rejoice in my freedom of spirit. Jesus himself has seen it to it that my heart has not been caught in the snare of my passion. I have come to know well from what dangers he had delivered me, and therefore my gratitude of my God knew no bounds. Second day, as I was meditating on the scene of the angels and the immediate punishment, I asked Jesus why angels had been punished as soon as they sinned. Human beings also sin, but give them time to change. That means sudden, by punished at once. I heard a voice. Because of the profound knowledge of God, they know God thoroughly. Once they turn away from God, they make a choice. We human beings see half and half. Not sure. If, why don't you eat? It's okay. It's okay here. Eat. No, the conversation. Okay. So, half clear, not completely clear. If. So, it's miserable, but we have time to change of heart. No personal nerve, even though a great saint has such knowledge of God as an angel has. So the angels are punished immediately when they turn away from the Lord forever. No return. Nevertheless, to me, who am so miserable, you have shown your mercy, O God, and this time and time again. You carry me in the bosom of your mercy and forgive me every time that I ask for forgiveness with a contrite heart. So it's very important. No? Now, we sin today, since we know so much about God, it's different from the people that you serve when they are pagans. They don't know Jesus. They don't know God. Maybe they do something very badly. You're different. You know more than they do. No, don't tell yourself, they do it. Why not am I? Can I not do it? It's different. You know more, so you're more responsible. Is it true? Just like the angels, they know more than human beings. That they'll punish at once. Human beings, half and half. So we, compared to the pagans, we have the gospel. We have Jesus. If a heavenly mother accompany us, if we do the thing as the pagans doing, or no more or no less, we're on the wrong side. We cannot tell yourself we are doing the same. You are different, right? You know more. This is our responsibility to keep this faith. Don't tell yourself, what about she? Maybe you have more grace than she. Although she baptized, and you say, oh, we are baptized. It's true. But you have more grace than the others. But you cannot tell yourself, why she do it, why she does it. Can I do the same? Not the same. I think this is what I feel. God is fair. God is just. So you must be sincere to yourself. You remember once Peter was asked Jesus, when Jesus said to Peter, now you're young, you can go anywhere you like. When you're old, you're kept to the place that you don't want to go. You know, it's here to suffer for the Lord. And Jesus asked, Peter asked Jesus, what about John standing next to him? What Jesus says, mind your own business. Whatever John is, even he stay until I come back. That is what John writer remarked. People thought that I will stay as long as the old age and then when the Lord comes back. Mind your own business. You just follow me. You see, don't tell why she is doing this, he is doing this. Mind your own business. Jesus wants your heart only, no sharing with others. This unique. It's not for us, it's unique. Each one is so unique. Have this mentality. You, although you're not consecrated yet, or you consecrated already many times to the heart of Jesus, live like, responsible to the Lord and not to others.